Musical Theater Writer Guy was written and filmed as a YouTube channel series on the traditional and unceded territory of the Munsee, Lenape, and Canarsie people. Each episode is also released here in podcast form. To learn how you can work with me or to join the Musical Theater Writing Collective, please find out more at michaelraddy.com. That's michaelraddi.com. Enjoy the show.
If you are writing a musical with another person, then you need a collaboration agreement. I often get asked by writers, do I really need one? Like, really? Do I need one? Yes, really. You absolutely do. Because without a collaboration agreement in place, there are a lot of things that could go very wrong, costing you time, money, your collaborators, and even the ownership of your piece. Yikes. So here are the basic things you need to know about these agreements so you can be informed and avoid all of those costly mistakes. First and foremost, a major disclaimer here, I am not a lawyer and nothing in this video is legal advice. Everything that I'm about to break down for collaboration agreements is information that is widely available through the Dramatists Guild of America. And if you can become a member of the Dramatists Guild, then I strongly suggest that you do. Not only do they rock, but they are also the best tool that we have for protection as writers for the stage here in the United States. Okay, so what is a collaboration agreement? In short, it is a legal document drawn up by collaborating writers on a musical to set out the terms of relationship and potential actions that could be taken regarding the work as it progresses through writing, development, and production. Yeah, we'll say more. A collaboration agreement makes clear a whole host of things, including who is responsible for what, how will people be credited, how will each party be compensated, how expenses will be split and incurred, what happens in the event of death, what are the ways in which a collaboration can be terminated, how and when material becomes quote-unquote merged. Yeah? All those things? Yeah, these are not necessarily fun to draft, but they're necessary. Not only are these important for each person's individual protection, but also for the protection of the collaboration itself, as well as for the property, the thing that is the product of the collaboration. Now, the Dramatists Guild has a model collaboration agreement for musicals, which is a wonderful template and starting place for creating these things. If you do choose to use that template as the foundation, there will still be some tweaking that needs to be done to make it fit for you and your collaborators. Some things may need to be altered or added or changed or deleted, but it's still a great foundation. The Dramatists Guild calls this model collaboration agreement for musicals a model contract which details the terms of the relationship between co-authors when writing a new musical. Yeah, pretty self-explanatory. That's it. Have a great week, everybody. Goodbye. Kidding. The best practice, according to the Dramatists Guild, is to use this model when beginning a new collaboration and to draw it up as soon as possible. What defines ASAP is a lot less clear. Now, based on how copyright works in the United States, my assumption would be that you'd want to draw this up as soon as anything tangible has been created, but that was not specified by the Dramatists Guild. That's me throwing in an assumption. And if anyone does know if the Dramatists Guild has specified that, just drop that in the comments. For all of us. Now, why do I assume it has to do with copyright? Because in order to gain the status of a co-author on a piece, a person must contribute copyrightable material to the work, and there must be a mutual intention to be co-authors. This is extremely important. Sometimes writers are asked to give co-authorship credits by creatives and production team members who do not qualify. People like directors or producers or orchestrators or performers, etc. But let me repeat, they do not qualify. This is very, very important. The other point that the Dramatists Guild makes about the importance of the collaboration agreement is that without one, the doctrine of joint authorship under the copyright statute governs the relationship with your authorial collaborator. Without going into a lot of detailed specifics, this means that everyone involved is an equal owner in all ways, and there's a major lack of protections for you. You can learn more about those details if you like, but it's not great. Okay, so what makes up the sections of the Dramatists Guild of America's Model Collaboration Agreement for Musicals? That's an excellent question. Let's take a look. It begins with something called Introductory Provisions. This basically sets up what the contract is going to be doing and who the people are that are involved. There are then 11 sections and a conclusion area. Section 1 covers representations and warranties. This essentially details out the promises that each party will make and states that these promises are indeed true as of the date signed. Section 2 covers copyright registration and revenue splits. And yes, this is about as straightforward as it sounds. Copyright is important to register, and knowing how revenue is both generated and split is very important. Section 3 basically says that all production contracts should follow the Dramatists Guild standards. Have I mentioned to you yet that you should join the Dramatists Guild of America if you can? Section 4 is a deep dive into the details of how revenue will be generated and split. And this can change depending on how, when, and where the revenue is generated, where it comes from. Section 5 details how decisions will be made, voting, and also how to resolve any conflicts that may arise out of the decision-making process. Section 6 details out what happens in the event of a collaborator's death or incapacitation. Aren't these fun? Are you having fun yet? I do also want to mention here that if you're looking for more information on the fun side of collaboration, like what it is, how to do it, experimenting and trying it out for yourself, that is something that we do in the Flagship Musical Theater Writing Workshop course, and you can learn more information about that and apply by going to the link in the description below. We talk all about collaboration, and we do 6 separate song challenges, 3 rewrite challenges, so you get an opportunity to experience collaboration in different forms throughout the course. It's a lot of fun. More fun than talking about death and incapacitation. I guess that's a low bar, but really, check it out and apply. Section 7 details out the concept of the merger of a property. This concept confuses people at times because it sounds on the surface like you're defaulting back to that whole joint authorship idea, but that's not really what it is. What it's essentially saying, in short, is detailing out the point in the process where a singular collaborator could no longer walk away with the material they contributed without majorly affecting the piece on the whole. The Dramatists Guild says you can think about it as kind of going from engagement to married. Section 8 talks about how to remove a collaborator from the collaboration and how that will affect everything. Section 9 details out how a collaborator could or would sell or assign their share of revenue to another party. Apparently, this section is optional. Section 10 covers how the contract would be terminated and what those conditions would be. And Section 11 covers the billing for collaborators. And then the final provisions is a bunch of boilerplate provisions. And it also covers how to resolve disputes, which seems important, but it's in the final provisions. Whew! Okay, isn't that a doozy? Now, I know these things aren't fun exactly, but they're extremely important to have in place. Extremely! And they aren't nearly as complicated as they sound. They're actually pretty straightforward and short in terms of, like, the different types of contracts that you can be involved in, especially in the theatrical arts or just in the arts in general. But more than anything else, these things are a tool. They provide clarity, protection, and pathways for you and your collaborators so that you can take all of the anxieties and fears that come along with the idea of collaboration and put them to the side so you can then just focus on doing the work. Because honestly, that's what we're here to do, what we do best, create. So you gotta have these in place so that you can do what you are there to do. Create a musical. And if you want to learn more about the actual process of collaboration, then you should both apply to the Flagship Musical Theater Writing Workshop course and also watch this video next. Otherwise,
thank you all for being here with me today, and I'll see you again soon. Cheers! Thank you for listening to Musical Theater Writer Guy, available wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate and review this show, as it really helps others to discover what you already know. And please do share this show far and wide, so we may all become an even closer musical theater community.